Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. As we continue our celebration of the resurrection during this Easter season, we come to a special Sunday set right in the middle of the Easter season. The fourth Sunday of Easter is also called Good Shepherd Sunday, as our focus turns from the resurrection to Jesus' place as our Good Shepherd, who cares for us, who loves us, who provides for us, and who ultimately lays down his life for us. No one takes his life from him, but he lays it down of his own accord. You may remember that last week we looked at how God's people are at work in the world, working with the abilities given by the Holy Spirit to share the message that God has given us. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, however, we're going to focus our attention on the shepherd himself as the one who is doing this work, from whom the work flows. Our service flows from what he has already done for us. When the church is at work, it is only because he, the Good Shepherd, is working through his people, which we see very clearly in our first reading from Acts, which follows up on the last 2 weeks, our readings from Acts chapter 3. Our reading in Acts chapter 4 picks up in media res in the middle of things, as Peter and John are speaking and proclaiming Jesus to the people in the temple. The temple guards see that they are causing a ruckus in the temple complex. They come up, they arrest them, they throw them in prison, and then, because it's getting kind of late in the day, the council, the Sanhedrin, comes together the next day to hear them out and declare their judgment. The question they ask, by what power or by what name did you do this? Well, Peter's response takes this question and completely flips it on its head. That he didn't do anything. By what power, by what name did you do this? He didn't do anything. Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him is this man standing before you well. If you understand grammar, there's a difference between active and passive voice. Active means I do something. Passive means something is done by someone. When Peter is answering this question, he doesn't say, I healed him by the name of Jesus. He says, this man is healed by the name of Jesus. Peter has nothing to do with this. Peter had nothing to do with it, essentially. Peter is making it clear Jesus is the one who is acting here. It's not Peter and John. But furthermore, he doesn't even dwell on the healing itself. He turns immediately from the healing to the teaching of Jesus. Remember what happened coming before this time. This man that was healed, he was sitting outside the temple. He was begging for money. Peter doesn't have any money, and so instead of giving him anything, Peter says, by the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. The man is healed. Crowds begin to gather around, and Peter goes into the sermon, which was our reading from last week. This is an incredible accomplishment here. This is an incredible miracle, and yet Peter didn't do it. It was God. Peter was simply the channel, the vessel through whom God accomplished this. And the same holds true for the church today. The church performs acts of service around the world, whether it is the adoption services, whether it's retirement or nursing homes, whether it's hospitals, whether it is a facility like the Bridge downtown, which provides food for those who are might struggle to make ends meet, whether it is providing water and housing for people, whether it is eyeglass clinics in the developing world, as Sandy Hoogerheide was involved with the last couple 2 weeks ago in Guatemala, all of these things, the church serves in and works in the community, or in the world in the community around us, whether it's financial literacy classes like Financial Peace, whether it's food pantry and clothing help, whether it's simply working together as a congregation to help people in the community by whatever with whatever needs they have. Or even on our own, serving our neighbors around us, raking leaves, offering a ride to someone in need, lending a listening ear to someone who is in distress, as our Stephen ministry can do. We serve in the community around us, doing good for those who are in need, but is that us who are accomplishing these good things? No. It is God who is working. The church is simply the hands and feet of God, going and doing, going and serving the way that he would have us serve. When asked how they could make this crippled man walk, remember the apostles, Peter and John here, don't dwell on the miracle itself. They don't see themselves as having done anything. The miracle, it meant everything to this crippled man, but it was merely a hint at something greater, and that hint is what Peter latches onto, what Peter focuses on as he is answering the question posed to him by the council. By what power or by what name did you do this? I didn't do anything, Jesus did it. By the power of Jesus' name, this man is standing before you well. The miracle was the means that the Holy Spirit used to open the opportunity to share this good news. And remember who, from whom this power comes. It's not the apostles, it's Jesus, the one whom they preached. During his ministry, Jesus had performed more miracles. The lame had walked, the deaf heard, the demon-possessed were freed, the dead were raised. Jesus was the one who called the apostles to be his disciples, who commissioned them, who charged them to prepare the way for him, to do what he sent them to do with the authority that he gave to them. He gave them the authority to do all of the things that he had done, to heal, to cast out demons, to raise the dead even. And then Jesus died. The priests had hoped that after Jesus' death, all of this would stop, things could go back to normal, but no, Jesus is still at work in the world through the Holy Spirit whom he had poured out on his followers. After the resurrection, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit on them. They preach, they heal, they continue to do the things that Jesus gave them to do by the power that he had given to them. God is still at work through the apostles and through us today. When the church works, when we serve other people, it's not simply by our own initiative, by our own impetus. The church today, we are only the hands and feet of Jesus carrying out his ministry, carrying out his works of service and love in the world around us, carrying out his mission and ministry for those in need. Our good shepherd has gathered us together into his flock, has made us his people, charged us to serve one another, to support one another in the work that he is accomplishing in the world. But of course, whatever works the good shepherd accomplishes through the church today, it's nothing compared to what the good shepherd has himself done for us. Peter and John, in that message to the council, they speak of Jesus' death and resurrection. That is the linchpin of the message. They crucified Jesus, the council crucified Jesus, handed him over to death, but God raised him from the dead. Jesus is the stone that they, the builders, had rejected, but that stone is now the cornerstone, quoting Psalm 118. This means that Jesus is the one who holds the whole structure together. The most important block in a building is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the first stone that is laid, which aligns the whole thing as it is going to stand. The most important block in an archway is the top one, the one that is put in last to balance it, to stabilize it, to give it its structure. This is Jesus. Jesus is the one who holds everything together. There is no other salvation than that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, period. That's what Jesus promised to them, and that's what Jesus promises to you. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Now, picture in your mind what your idea would be of a shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd, we hear in Psalm 23. The shepherd leads the sheep to good pasture, leads them to clear water. The shepherd protects the sheep by fending off the predators, leading them safely along the path. But what then does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd, on top of all of that, lays down his life for the sheep. Which makes no sense if there are predators around, does it? If the wolves are still there, then they'll simply kill the shepherd, move on to the sheep. But Jesus, however, loves his sheep so greatly that he will not allow a single sheep to be harmed. He will overcome the predator. He does overcome death and hell. Also, he can save you from them, which costs him everything. He died to redeem you, but of course, Jesus did not stay dead. He laid down his life. He picks his life up again. That is what we celebrate during this Easter season and every day of our lives. Christ died to redeem you from your sins, and then he rose from the grave to bring you into his eternal life. Life in which we, as the apostles before us, have been blessed with the Holy Spirit, through whom Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is still at work in the world. When we speak his word, he speaks and works through us. He gathers those whom he loves into his flock, united under the single shepherd who laid down his life to redeem you, who took it up again to lead us to the pleasant pasture prepared for us. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.